there, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the ECCDC podcast. I'm your host, Jeanette Wilson, and I'm here in conversation with Jamie Barrett, who is an assistant professor with Brock University here in Niagara. Jamie is a registered early childhood educator and teaches on the Bachelor of Early Childhood Education. So, welcome, Jamie. It's wonderful to be reconnecting with you again this afternoon to have further conversation around physical literacy.
Absolutely. I'm really happy to be here and I feel like a guest of honor.
Lovely. Well, it's great to have you here. And we've had past conversations around the Forest Schools project that you were involved with in Niagara, as well as physical literacy for early years children. And today I wanted to spend some time diving a little bit more deeply into physical literacy.
Can't wait. It's my bread and butter.
Yeah. I know that you have lots of experience and it's one of your passions. So can we start off our conversation this afternoon with you sharing a little bit about yourself and your connection to the early learning and childcare community with our listeners?
Of course. So as you've already mentioned, I am a registered early childhood educator. I have been for, 12 years now. It feels like time just flew. So I started at the YMCA in Burlington, and I was working in different classrooms ranging from infant, toddler, preschool, school age. And then I found my home in a toddler classroom for many years. And truly, that's where a lot of my passion laid at the time and promoting movement and just holistic development among toddlers. And now while I'm not in early years classrooms, I still engage in research projects with early years professionals because I find that I want to give back to early years professionals because it's all about learning from each other. And that's essentially what I do.
Yeah. So you have that theory and that research, but also that hands-on practical piece. And I love how you talk to that co-learning approach as well. Mm-hmm. So with your role as being assistant professor, but also being grounded in what's actually happening on the ground, for want of a better expression. So we were talking earlier and I was saying that I came across physical literacy by accident around 10 years ago. It was quite interesting. I was given a flyer to a meeting that had play written on it, but it was capital letters, and I thought it was a meeting about play. And it turns out actually it was a meeting about physical literacy. So it was physical literacy and you. It was totally new to me. And yeah, I was really interested and I got to kind of know a little bit about incorporating it a little bit in my work. Now, for some of our listeners, they may not be aware of the term of physical literacy, or they may have heard it and they may not be quite sure what it's all about. So could you explain what physical literacy is?
Yes.
And
of course,
why it's important for educators to intentionally plan experiences to support early years children.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that resonates across the early years community too. So not understanding exactly what physical literacy is. You can think about it as a holistic concept. It's often described as the combination of motivation, confidence, physical competence, and knowledge and understanding. And all of this supports your engagement in physical activity across the lifespan. In early childhood specifically, it's less about developing those skills for training, athletics, and much more about building positive relationships with movement. So about their curiosity for movement, their confidence in trying new movements. and just feeling capable in their own bodies. And this is particularly important for early years because and educators, because building those relationships to movement helps to promote physical activity across the lifespan. It supports children's self-regulation and their social learning, how to create relationships with others through movement. And then it just creates positive messages where children believe that I am capable and movement is for me, because that's really important when engaging in movement across your life.
As you were speaking then, it kind of, when you were speaking to those relationships, I know how does learning happen speaks a lot to relationships. And we obviously often think about people, the environment, but thinking about how that links to the movement piece and some other things that you were speaking to. So the curiosity, the three C's, capable, curious, etc. So
Exactly.
yeah, some really nice links to how does learning happen there. So I mentioned before that, I came across physical literacy a little while ago, and I know when I first started to look at it, it spoke a lot to elite athletes and the mechanics of physical literacy, and I was that kind of baffled me a little bit. And it also then spoke to that confidence as well, and competence, those things that you were speaking to. And I know at the same time when I started to dive a little bit deeper, when I was looking at that, I also came across some stats that were quite scary, thinking about how little children were moving. And I know often as educators, we think children are really busy and they're moving all the time, which the research says that they're actually not. So that was probably a convoluted way of me asking you how educators can incorporate physical literacy in movement in their everyday experiences that they're offering in their program. And any strategies that they can kind of utilize across the age ranges.
Absolutely. And I want to preface and say that I think educators are already promoting physical literacy without knowing that they are. There's just that terminology. A helpful mindset is to think about physical literacy as it already lives in our routines, transitions, and in play. It's not something that you would add on to your programs. It's something that happens during program time throughout the day. And so it's something that you don't need special equipment for, large spaces, or large blocks of time. And how educators can do this intentionally is, for example, design your environment for movement. So just opening pathways to walk through. Maybe they're moving their arms large and their legs, and they're just jumping around what during transition time, or things like rolling around on the ground. It's not necessarily always about having enough space, it's using what we have. Another strategy is to use what I call movement-rich language. And so that first does need a little bit of knowledge in what the language is around movement. But saying positive things like, I noticed how you balanced, and using the specific term and calling out the specific skill. So children also learn, oh, this is what balancing is. And just a note for listeners, balancing doesn't always mean on one foot. Balancing can mean anything, it can mean sitting in a chair. So movement-rich language is another strategy. And like I said before, just building it into the day. This can be very minor things. It's getting up from sitting down during circle time, if circle time is still a thing in your center. Just little bouts of movement really does incorporate physical literacy, but also then teaching children that they can do things, and using that kind of language is really important for building the confidence.
Yeah. That was really interesting what you were saying about the language. I hadn't really thought of that, and I'm aware that there are skills that go along with physical literacy, but that simple piece about just naming that skill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that.
And especially for the young children, they might not understand it, but like young children do, they are sponges and they do learn. That's part of learning is teaching them the language to use.
Yeah, great, great. And that intentionality that you spoke to. And it was interesting that you said you don't necessarily need a lot of space, which often we do think of physical activity with space. So just following on from that, are there any specific resources, curriculum materials, or tools that you could suggest that educators could use to incorporate physical literacy within their curriculum?
Absolutely, and I will provide you links to for you to link in the podcast, but with physical literacy being this increasingly important aspect in the early years, there are very little resources for early childhood educators. However, there are some. So, for example, there is the organization Active for Life. They're featured out west, Canada, and they provide many resources for caregivers and early childhood educators. They have posters that you can print for your classroom, as well as activities. And then I can't forget to mention Sport for Life. I know the names sound similar, but Sport for Life originally does focus on athlete development. However, they have an early years professional program for helping educators develop their physical literacy. And so this program is a series of either webinars or workshops that are offered online or in person. And so they help educators themselves build confidence to move and provide them with strategies for how to promote movement in their children. And then I would be remiss without mentioning this because a lot of my education is in Australia, but I like pointing to the Australian Physical Literacy Framework. Now, this framework is really simple to understand from a broad perspective what is involved in physical literacy. And they outlined the document in domains. For example, physical and all of the different ways that you can promote the physical domain in physical literacy, as well as social and what that involves. And while it's not specifically catered to early years professionals, I think that it's a living document that is helpful for anyone who wants to understand physical literacy.
Yeah, some great pieces. I know Active for Life. I've looked up their resources and they have some really great articles as well. And you were saying things that can be downloaded. And I know actually when you were saying the Australian framework, I remember a while back when I was looking into physical literacy. I don't know if it's the organization that you're speaking to, but I do remember seeing some resources that they had, and as you were speaking, one sprung to mind when they were talking about tummy time. And I wouldn't necessarily thought of tummy time being physical literacy, but yeah, and again, they can be downloaded.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so when we're thinking about our infants, how we can kind of get them moving from an early age. Yeah, so we'll share all of those resources that Jamie's shared. We'll put those links in the show notes below, so just have a little look. I know one actually that we were talking about this earlier before we jumped on was the Apple model. Well, I know that Mount Royal University, again out west, produced the Apple model, which speaks to the role of educators, kind of links that play-based learning to that physical literacy too. I think was it Dawn Clark who did a lot of research around that. So we can pop that one in the show notes as well.
Yes.
So some great resources, some great practical strategies that educators can utilize that you mentioned earlier, Jamie. But I'm curious about what challenges, are there any challenges that you've come across that educators face when they're incorporating physical literacy and movement? Are there any, and do you have any suggestions on how those can be mitigated?
Absolutely. I, because a lot of my research is interviewing educators and figuring out what it looks like in their classrooms, there are a few challenges. One of the main ones that I hear is the time that they think that it takes to promote physical literacy and competing demands in the classroom. We know that oftentimes, and this is speaking to education in general, movement is how you can say put on the back burner. It's something that is not the priority because it is assumed that we move naturally. However, it should be a priority, and I know that a lot of early years educators want to do that, but things like literacy would take over. So in terms of mitigating that challenge, one of the creative ways that I really, and this speaks to literacy specifically, but just embedding movement in every single activity. It can be so simple. As a lot of educators know, the Going on a Bear Hunt book, where you get up and you go through the story and you do the movements. So something as simple as movement storytelling is really an effective way to offset those competing demands. Children are learning literacy as well as moving. They're learning how to move their bodies in ways that connect the story as well. Another challenge that I often hear are concerns around safety and specifically risk aversion. We know that risky play and adventurous play promotes physical literacy because children are building their confidence in movement and they are understanding risks. One of the ways that we can mitigate this, first, I think that it requires an understanding between risk and hazard. So a risk would be something where a child is presented with a risk, they can recognize it, evaluate the situation, and then they can decide on how they're going to overcome that. Whereas a hazard would be something that is a potential for injury, and the child's capacity to recognize it is very low or non-existent. And so, first, having some understanding about the differences between risk and hazard. Also, thinking about risk benefit. There are risk benefit, I think there's resources to evaluate that in childcare classrooms. Those are very useful for understanding what is actually considered a risk and how you can use that to promote physical literacy. The last one is my biggest finding, and that would be educators' confidence just with movement in general. And while I know that educators do feel prepared to promote movement in children, they themselves do not have that extended understanding of what's involved in physical literacy and movement. So naming the types of skills that children should be achieving. It's very similar to the other strands of education, literacy and math. Children need to learn those other concepts. And so when we apply that to physical literacy and the movement, we also need to learn what are those movements, those fundamental movement skills that children also need to develop. And so one of the most effective ways that we can mitigate that is professional learning. And when I say professional learning, I don't mean a one-off workshop. I do mean embedded in the educator's classroom with their setting and their children. And Unfortunately, that does take time and resources. However, it's the most effective because they can apply it directly to the children that they're with, because it's very different depending where you go. I know in Welland, there are so many different centers that the children who attend there are different from the other centers. So that is a very important next step in physical literacy, in mitigating that educator confidence.
That's some really great p things that you mentioned there, that thinking about those books, because obviously, reading books can be passive, and we know some of our children find it difficult to sit during that time. So I really like that. I love that story, The Bear Hunt, but thinking how we can make that an active piece. And you gave a nice overview of risk and challenge. Now, you did mention fundamental movement skills. Could you just give a brief overview of what the fundamental movement skills are for our listeners that may not be familiar with them?
Yes, so those would be things like locomotor, that's the movement, balance, that's stability, and like I said earlier, it could include just sitting. It's like think about your core muscles. That is also balance, right? And so it's really important that the children develop. There's many different skills within those locomotor, balance, coordination skills. And that's what fundamental movement skills entails.
That kind of reminded me, as you were saying, the core skills, core body skills, that kind of made me think about when we think about children writing, them needing those skills to be able to hold a pencil. Yeah, whereas they need those core skills to be able to sit. I know, is it
Absolutely.
Angela Hanscom speaks to those core skills as well, doesn't she? I'm trying to think. Her book there, but yeah, really important that children can sit. And it's really interesting as we were talking, when you were talking about sitting, I could kind of see you moving as well. So our viewers will not have that visual to go along with that. Yes, so you can sit up straight, that you can sit in that chair. So that was a nice segue into our next kind of conversation starter. You spoke about professional learning. Are there any is there any specific training, any professional development opportunities that you could suggest for educators when they're thinking about understanding physical literacy, implementing physical literacy?
That's a great question, and I first want to say that I think, regardless of what type of professional learning and who provides it, it needs to focus on what physical literacy is in the early years. And it needs to have that holistic view. And I say this because sometimes physical literacy is just known as those athletic skills and that development. However, when seeking out professional learning, make sure that it also speaks to developing children's confidence and relationships with movement. With that said, unfortunately, there's limited opportunities. However, there are some. And I actually provide this very often for Sport for Life. And previously, they have hosted professional learning sessions over the course of weekends with Peel specifically, where I come in and I spend a lot of time getting to know the educators and take them through actual movements and actual scenarios where they can promote physical literacy. And I'm smiling very big right now because I reflect on the times. And it's really been so meaningful for them. They come back afterwards to me and say, I never thought about that movement could just be so simple and it could be so fun. So that's been really effective. And I know Sport for Life does also offer the training online. So I'll provide the link as well for that. As well as webinars, I know I said one-off workshops are not effective, but webinars can be that door, that window that opens up for you to learn a little bit more about physical literacy. And so that's a good segue into what I'm doing with the ECCDC in March. So I'll be delivering a webinar on advancing play through active through physical literacy. And then something that might not actually be known to many people, but the Asia Pacific Society for Physical Activity, it's called ASPA. I am the co-chair of the physical literacy group there, and we provide up to two webinars each year. Now, these webinars aren't always tailored for educators. However, I do recommend that educators visit the website and sign up for our newsletter so that they can see if there are webinars coming up that are catered towards early years. We have a lot of experts on the in the group that can provide that information, that webinar through professional learning. So
Yeah, some great tips there. Yeah, I like how you spoke to that fun piece as well. So when we think about physical literacy being fun, but also educators having fun when they're learning
Oh, yeah.
about physical literacy. And yeah, that you were saying, that window, that catalyst to spark our curiosity and to learn a little bit more. Like I was saying earlier, I came across physical literacy accidentally, and that kind of made me want to learn a little bit more. So if you want to learn a little bit more about physical literacy and have some deeper conversations with Jamie, find out a little bit more, then we'll pop that link to Jamie's session in the show notes. However, just hop onto the ECCDC website, click on the professional learning tab, and you can sign up for and register for Jamie's session there. So we are coming to the end of our time together, Jamie. It's been such a great opportunity for me to rekindle my passion for physical literacy and to hear your thoughts too. I'm definitely going to check out. You spoke to research, so I'm really curious about that. If you might be able to share some links with our listeners as well.
Yeah, did you mean the research that I'm conducting or just research in general?
Research that you're conducting would be lovely.
Absolutely. So I have a partnership grant from the Canadian government right now, and we're looking to see if this movement storytelling program, it's called Little Champions. And so Little Champions is considered interactive storytelling, much like going on a bear hunt. You engage the children in movement while reading stories. And these stories are meant to be relevant to children's lives. So, going to an apple farm, and they're filled with diversity in different situations. Now, we're trying to see how it's applied in childcare settings because that hasn't been done yet in Ontario. And specifically, how does learning happen can be enacted through Little Champions. Because as we know, early years classrooms need to address how does learning happen and provide that pedagogical documentation. So that's essentially what we're doing there. And they're just finishing up what's called Photo Voice. And that's where they have received cameras to document how they implemented Little Champions in their classrooms. And so we'll get to come together again and see what that looks like. And I'm really excited. I don't know. I don't know what to expect, but really looking forward to it.
That's great. So some research taking place in our part of the world, our part of Canada down here in Niagara. That's great to hear a little bit about that research project. So before we finish up, Jamie, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. The very first thing, I have two things. The first thing would just to remind everyone listening that physical literacy is not something to add on to the program. It's a way of seeing your day in early learning settings. It's designing environments, routines, those relationships with children, their relationships with movement, so that they can explore movement more with joy and with confidence. I think that's the most important, one of the most important takeaways. The second takeaway is that I didn't really touch on this earlier. However, equity in physical literacy really matters, especially for how we understand it and plan intentionally for it. We're not just trying to increase physical activity. We're making sure that every child, no matter what their ability is, that they have access to feeling capable in their own bodies, as well as belonging in play and being included in all movement experiences, because ultimately that shapes how they see themselves for years to come. And so that would be my last point.
Lovely, lovely. Things that I've kind of picked out, joy and fun and that confidence piece, yes. And how do we ensure that all children feel capable and confident, regardless of abilities? So, Jamie, thank you so much for sharing your time with me and our listeners today. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you about physical literacy and how early learning and childcare programs and educators can support children in developing physical literacy.
Thanks, Jeanette. That was great.
So, that wraps up our conversation on physical literacy through an early years lens. Thank you for joining Jamie and me. And Jamie for so generously sharing her time, experience, and knowledge of all things physical literacy. For me, it was a wonderful opportunity to refocus on physical literacy and to hear about the research project that Jamie has been involved with. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing the results and will be looking out for Jamie's paper. Jamie shared some great resources, and you can find the link in the show notes. Some of my key takeaways were that physical literacy is not an add-on. It's about how we see our day with children and about thinking of the relationships with movement. Jamie spoke to the joy, fun, and confidence of movement. What are your key takeaways? And how are you incorporating physical literacy into your day with children? Please feel free to share below. If this conversation has sparked your curiosity and you would like to find out more about physical literacy, then please join Jamie on Monday the 9th of March for her webinar on physical literacy that she will be hosting for the ECCDC. You can also find the link for her session in the show notes as well. If you liked this podcast, please share it. And if you haven't already subscribed, then please do so. And join us for our next podcast in March, when we'll be in conversation with Paula McLean and discussing how we can create strong teens in early childhood programs. Looking forward to connecting with you in March.